Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give a new life to a used device. Visit gazelle.com today. And by Braintree. Looking to set up payments for your business? Braintree gives your app or website a payment solution that accepts just about every payment method with one simple integration. Plus, Braintree will give you the first 50,000 in transactions fee-free. To learn more, visit braintreepayments.com/android. Welcome to another edition of All About Android, episode 238, recorded on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps and reviews for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And we are here all by our lonesome. Mr. Jason Howell is out today.
Well, so we're not all alone.
We're not all alone. We are lucky enough to be joined by the excellent Dom Esposito. How you doing, Dom?
Good. Yeah, just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Cool. Dom is a YouTube star as well as a contributor to 9to5 Google.
Sensation.
That's a little pushing it there, but I'll take it.
Are you going to be like Justin Bieber? You're just going to like explode into your own, you know, pop stardom?
I'm actually working on my mixtape right now.
That's what I thought.
Hot fire.
Well, we've gotten lots of requests to get some representation from 9to5google.com, so it's good to have you on, Dom. It's nice to
Thanks.
Get some representing.
So. Repping the 9to5 hood. You guys have like gang signs? Maybe that's too soon.
I got 9to5 tattooed across my chest.
Oh. Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah.
There you go. But now this is a perfect time to have someone from 9to5 Google on, as this week is filled with some controversy. And,
it's very controversial this week. And it's only Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Exactly. So this week we're going to be talking about the apparent death and resurrection of Chrome OS. OnePlus and BlackBerry want your business, and a whole bunch of updates to Google Apps. So it's the usual thing, so let's dive right into the news.
Jason Howell may be gone, but that won't stop us from doing the Android news.
No, it won't stop us.
No, it won't.
Can't stop, won't stop. So last week, I was shocked when I saw the tweet come across my tweet deck. The Wall Street Journal was reporting, breaking the news that, in fact, Alphabet's Google, as they referred to them, will be folding Chrome OS into Android, which was going to be the solution that we all knew was inevitable. We've been talking about it for years, about how can Chrome OS and Android exist separately, and what are they going to do with this? Are we going to choose one? Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, people familiar with the matter,
quote unquote,
the usual people familiar with the matter, say that they plan to fold the Chrome OS operating system for personal computers into the Android mobile operating system, a sign of the growing dominance of mobile computing. And everybody went crazy. I don't know if they went crazy.
I went crazy.
Did you go crazy?
I went a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew this was going to happen. The Pixel C, it was foreshadowing everything that was happening.
Right.
Google, of course, they're going to move into this. They want to have a productivity suite made out of Android. It makes perfect sense. Look how well the service is sold.
Even I tweeted. I was like, well, we knew this was coming.
Yes, exactly.
Dom, what was your reaction to this Wall Street Journal report?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not a huge Chrome OS fan. It's not for me. You know what I mean? Like, all the stuff that I need requires an actual, like, full-on operating system with, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I've never really been a big Chrome OS user, but to be honest, it makes sense to me. Essentially, Android can offer all the things Chrome OS does, so I don't know why it needs to be a separate thing.
Yeah, they always seemed a little redundant in terms of what they did. It always seemed
good way to put it. Very redundant. They should call it redundant OS.
And
possibly. Kidding, don't do that.
And Chrome OS always felt like the thing that I needed to explain to people, where Android just made sense. You know, like, no, Chrome OS, it's like a browser. The browser's the operating system. And like people never.
I used to say it's like an Apple computer. It lives in the cloud.
Oh, that's a good
idea. Because that's the only way that the adults in my life because I'm not an adult, would understand it. I'm still a child, so. Yeah.
Well, so I think this news lasted only a mere matter of days before yesterday, this past Monday, our good friend Hiroshi swept in.
Our very good friend.
To the rescue. And Hiroshi had something to say on the Google Chrome OS blog where he said, and we have Hiroshi here this week. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Hiroshi. He says,
"You're welcome, Ron."
"Over the last few days, there's been some confusion about the future of Chrome OS and Chromebooks based on speculation that Chrome OS will be folded into Android. While we've been working on ways to bring together the best of both operating systems, there's no plans to phase out Chrome OS." And the blog post, as you can see, is titled "Chrome OS is Here to Stay."
It's so weird. I actually kind of missed this news because I was busy being in like a candy-filled haze over Halloween. And it was mostly the candy that I didn't pass out because children don't go trick-or-treating anymore because we're a society of scared people now.
So you just sat at home and ate it all?
That's what you're talking about.
And cheese. I ate a lot of cheese, too. But that's not the point. The point is that I come to work this week and I see this craziness is not happening. The Chrome OS is apparently here to stay. So I don't really understand what's happening. There's just a lot of conflicting information. Yeah. Granted, I believe what comes out of Hiroshi's mouth versus what comes out of the Wall Street Journal, but it's kind of a bummer because usually they're pretty good on scoops and things like that. So, you know.
So now here's where I'm going to put on the pundit hat and the analytical hat.
Let's do it.
So according to the people familiar with the matter in the Wall Street Journal, and what Hiroshi then goes to say that Chrome OS is here to stay, he says, you know, ever since we launched it 6 years ago, we wanted to make computers better, faster. And then he proceeds to basically give a catalog of products in the blog post that are running Chrome OS. There's even a photo of the little Asus Chromebit, you know, and talking about all these great things. And for $149, you can get this and yada, yada. So while, and you know, saying stay on the lookout for dozens of new Chromebooks in 2016. So while he's saying Chrome OS is here to stay, was the decision to fold Chrome OS into Android a long-term decision? Like, is this a roadmap that by 2025, Chrome OS goes away and it becomes Android, and that's what the Wall Street Journal was reporting on?
Maybe.
You know, like, because it's not in Google's best interest to talk about killing this operating system when they have products on the shelves.
Yeah, especially when they're kind of killing it.
Couldn't they just easily convert all of those devices, push an update that just, you know, makes a desktop version of Android that's similar to Chrome OS? I mean, they could still be doing this in a sense that maybe they just did that because it was a panic move, right?
Yeah.
It was like a PR panic move. Like, oh, crap, all these people are going to go sell their things, or people are going to stop buying this stuff. And that's obviously a good revenue stream for them, I'd imagine. So, or something, or, you
that's
know,
a really
for the people
good point.
That make them. So
maybe
it was just a PR tactic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, definitely I'm sure that once this Wall Street Journal article hit, you know, the Asus marketing person picked up the phone and called their counterpart.
Excuse me, what's happening here?
Yeah.
I'm doing the voices of all other people today, by the way.
You know, they got skin in the game, all those OEMs. I mean, they've got a lot of money invested into Chromebooks.
Right.
I would assume. I don't know all about the making of them and stuff like that, but I assume that everybody's kind of knee-deep in Chromebook stuff right now, and that would totally screw up relationships if, you know, if it was interpreted the wrong way, which it obviously was initially. So
I can imagine
still see it happening.
I can't imagine a desktop version of Android, though. Like, that just feels so counterintuitive to the whole idea of Android.
Well, that's why the question isn't so much a desktop version of Android, but are all devices going mobile?
Yeah.
You know, and we're
okay. Look at Windows, for example.
Yeah,
that thing, it works on anything. I mean, put that on a toaster and it'll run.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe Android is going to be like a shape shifting type of thing where whatever device it's on, it operates differently and not necessarily like a different thing. You know, like a desktop version, but it's maybe more in tune to work in that environment.
Like a chameleon,
kind of thing.
A Chrome chameleon.
Yeah. Chrome chameleon. You're welcome,
chameleon.
Google.
That was for you, Ron.
The other interesting point to note in Hiroshi's blog post, Chrome OS is here to stay, is that there was a large focus on education and on enterprise.
That's very true. That was in the back of my mind as we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
It is way cheaper to bring these laptops into the classroom than to bring in a bunch of iPads.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's I'm sure that's where they're selling a whole crap ton of them now.
Yeah, they have a whole thing at I.O. just around Chromebooks being used in education.
I don't think that they're flying off the shelves because of just general consumers. I mean, no offense, but I don't think a lot of normal people are buying them. I think that they're selling loads of them in bulk to things like that.
Yeah.
And and I think that the approach of consumer versus education and enterprise makes sense, but then Android is the stronger consumer brand. And so like going
way
into
stronger,
so I think the net of this is that, or at least from my takeaway, is that Chrome OS isn't going anywhere, but if the long-term plan is to run with Android, I wouldn't be surprised. So, like, I feel like while the Wall Street Journal, you know, ran really fast with this, and Google did their damage control,
yes.
there might be kernels of truth in it. That's I wouldn't be surprised.
It is the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, one would think. In these day and age, who knows?
But, right first, okay. Think lit.
I'm all about the traditional media, but moving on from traditional media to developers, some developer-centric news. Good news! Now you don't have to wait for an app to process in the Google Play Store, for an app update to process in the Google Play Store before you can download it. Now developers have a new option where they can upload their app to the Google servers, you know, in the proverbial cloud, and it will process. And when it's ready and all done processing, you can push go live. And then immediately, like, the update is available to everybody at the same time. So you won't have to go, you know, if you're really, like, aching for an app update, you don't have to go looking for the APK just to get it. There are a few caveats associated with this news, though. This can't be used for first time apps, so brand new apps won't be able to just like do this push live thing, this push live magic, if you will. And there's still a little bit of a waiting period for apps to process before you can actually touch the go live button. So
and you can only process one change at a time.
Yeah.
And you can't revert changes.
Yeah. So make sure that whatever you're doing, you're 100% sure on before you make it go live, because otherwise it's going to be hell for the rest of us.
Right. But this is the continuing effort around making it easier for developers to keep their apps on the, you know, especially with all security concerns and things like that, to be able to push these changes out pretty
quickly.
Maybe
it has to do with Chrome OS. You know, just like instant updates on your Chromebook. Like, all right.
It just all leads back to Chrome.
Yeah, it's just all roads lead to Chrome.
Yep. But talking about security concerns and security updates, interesting story. Actually, before the show started, we were talking with Dom and Flo. We were here talking about a world where maybe Samsung and Google work together and Samsung makes a Nexus device. And
everybody's happy
and
frolicking in meadows.
But after reading this, I'm not sure Google would actually be too down with that. As a team of Google security researchers were recently looking at the Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge as part of an experiment to see how vulnerable the code that manufacturers add to Android can be, and the results were pretty bad. The Google researchers found 11 vulnerabilities in Samsung's code that could be exploited to create files with system privileges, steal the user's emails, execute code in the kernel, and escalate the privilege of unprivileged applications. So from a security standpoint, Samsung didn't really pass this test.
It's slightly hilarious considering the big marketing push that Samsung does with Knox.
Yep.
It's supposed to be this very like secure platform, because of the addition of Knox and et cetera, et cetera. But here we go. Finding vulnerabilities.
No, see, Knox is just to secure you from messing with your own device.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And, so, you know, in the blog post over at the Google security team, they said, we found a substantial number of high severity issues, though some were effective security measures on the device, which slowed us down. The weak areas seemed to be device drivers and media processing. We found issues very quickly in these areas through fuzzing and code review. So it looks as if a lot of
they found them very quickly. That's like, that's kind of the key quote to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And now to be fair, in their conclusion, you know, they said, you know, over the course of the week, we found 11 issues with serious security impact. Several issues were found in the device drivers and image processing. Like I said, some logic issues in the device that were high impact and easy to exploit. The majority of these issues were fixed on the device we tested via an over-the-air update within 90 days. And three lower severity issues remain unfixed, though. So of the 11, Samsung was already on top of, you know, I can't do the math, 8 of them within 90 days. So at least Samsung reacted and
well, they have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise,
yeah,
they'll be in big trouble.
Yeah. They're just like, nah, you know, maybe next week we'll get to that update.
But this goes to show that, you know, Google has as much control as they have over Android. every OEM that then adds their own software to it adds another layer of potential danger, right?
Yeah, that's how it is.
I was gonna say, it's just interesting to see the shift of how OEMs are gradually trying to make Android a little less bloated because of all the security blowups that happened this year. And I haven't really seen, like, I'm curious to see what Samsung's going to do next year with its next flagship, what the software is going to look like, if it's going to look any different, if it's going to be any more pared down, because we can't keep living like this. We can't keep living with, like, these really heavy interfaces that require so much maintenance.
Now, hey, it's gotten a lot better.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
You're
not giving them credit. Like, it is miles better than it used to be. Holy crap. It's, like, so much... I mean, it still doesn't, like, get all gummed up and bogged down like it used to.
Right.
I'm really happy with the direction Samsung has went with the software. Of course, yeah, I'd love it if they just made all of their apps uninstallable. But the biggest problem that I have actually rests with the carriers.
Yeah, I was just about to jump and say
they're the ones that destroy the phones, not Samsung. Yeah. I mean, here's another thing, too, that we have to think about is, okay, so you got Android, then Samsung takes Android and builds their thing for it. You know, they build their thing, and then the carriers are given that software, and they add their own stuff. I believe that carriers actually tweak the software as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, like, layer of something that could be messing with security and, you know, I mean, how secure are all of these, like, cookie-cutter carrier apps either, you know, like there's a lot of factors to it. And I think, like, the biggest problem for me is the carrier stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
So Dom, are you, what is your daily driver phone? Like, are you full Samsung or which one are you using?
No, I'm not full Samsung. I would love to be full Samsung, but unfortunately other phones come out. I can tell you my favorite camera on a smartphone right now is definitely like the S6 Note 5, yep. You know, the sensors like that. Just, It's really great. But I have been using the 6P. So this is kind of weird, but my normal routine is I'm always carrying at least two phones. I have the latest iPhone that is out and then the latest Nexus device that I'm using, or not Nexus device, Android device that I'm using. So right now that happens to be the 6P.
Okay.
And
What was it before the 6P?
Before the 6P, it was the 5X.
Okay, and before the 5X?
Before the 5X, it was the...
Didn't you have the Edge Plus in Berlin?
Yeah, I go through... I mean, literally every 2 weeks, I have a different phone in my pocket. Yeah.
Wow.
My SIM cards just do, like, musical chairs. But I was in the V10 as well for a moment. And before that, it was the Moto X... And then I was in the 6 Plus. I was in the Mate S. It's just all over the place. I mean, name an Android smartphone or an iPhone, and I've used it.
So the eternal question is, somebody like me who's, you know, on a Nexus 5 and I'm looking to upgrade this winter, which one of all those phones, which one is the best buy for a power user on Android right now? Somebody like me.
I mean, well, it depends what you're looking for, really. That's a very generic question. You know what I mean? Like, I always recommend the Galaxy devices to people all the time, just because I'm a big fan of, you know, here's the thing. We may nitpick about some of these software things, but a lot of just general consumers out there really like all the stuff that Samsung puts in there. All the little things, you know what I mean? Not the carrier blower. I'm not talking about all, like, the disgusting stuff, but, man, it's hard to say no to, like, a Galaxy S6 or an S6 Active. S6 Active is pretty nice too.
That's the thing. So, like, I've never used a Samsung device. I've always been turned off by either the software bloat or the hardware or whatnot. It's not until this round of Samsung devices, mainly with the Edge. The Edge is what impressed me the most, or I even considered it. But even then, I couldn't even tell you why, but I definitely am one of those people who've got the Samsung reality distortion field bias that is, you know, just like, no, like these aren't for me, you know, yeah.
So. The camera really makes up for it.
Yeah, does it?
The camera quality of the S6 Edge definitely makes up for all the blue.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I would say, though, for you, I think the best move is a Moto X Pure.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not a Nexus, and it's not like a super skin-themed thing. It's got some light stuff going on. Still a solid build, metal frame. You customize it, you know, how you want it on MotoMaker. Like, it's, I think that's a good non-Nexus smartphone out there. I mean, the camera's pretty good on it, too. You know, it's not the best, but it's definitely not the worst.
It has a couple more features than the Nexus 5X, too, for, like, $20 more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No fingerprint sensor, though. So if you're interested in that for Android Pay, you don't get that with the Moto X.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, I mean, like, I was leaning toward it because I'm not a big fan of the big phones, the 6P. Like, you know, so, like,
It's a liability.
It's a large phone. It's
Moto X is still pretty large, so it's fine.
Moto X is pretty large as well. It's larger than the 5X, or is it the same? No, it's larger. Yeah, it's 5.7. Yeah.
The GS6 Edge is really nice for just putting in your pocket, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just like a nice, small little phone. Fits into most hoodies.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I'm going to agonize this over a couple
of months. I feel like
months.
I really want to go with you when you buy your phone. Like, I just want to make a day out of it.
I'm going to go to a webpage and click. I'm not going to let this
You should make it into a thing, though. Like, it should be like a quinceañera or something.
People don't go,
like,
to stores enough. Like, that's what I love to do. Yeah. I love
to
go to stores.
And like just celebrate. We'll go to Cha Cha Cha.
Well, I'm really, really interested in the next bit, and so like that, and you know, from a design standpoint. So
just depends how long you can wait.
Exactly, that's the question. So we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? I just want to keep the entire audience on the edge of their seats, wondering what fun we're gonna get for as long as possible.
But you got to do a big reveal though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
On the show, you can't just be like, oh look, guys, I got this phone.
Yeah.
We got to like.
You know, because I was like, oh, 5X, boom, done. But everything I've read has got me, you know, not on board with the 5X.
Really?
So, yeah. I've heard it's not as good.
Yeah.
So. Mm. I mean, it's you know. It's okay. I can tell you that I've had some pretty, I know you don't like the 6P, but I've had some pretty outstanding battery life on the 6P.
Yeah, same.
To the point where I'm just like, oh, like, what is this real life?
Why is it not dying? I mean, that's okay. Seriously. Please don't die ever.
Okay, I mean, this is kind of nerdy stuff, but I'm at 75% and I have 2 hours and 30 minutes of screen on time.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. You watch an indie movie and a half.
Like, that's, I mean, it's, you know, it's so ridiculous. And it's just like, I, you can see where Doze kicks in though, in like the, in the battery stuff, you can see where the Doze starts to kick in and where it actually starts to save your battery life. And this case may be true for a lot of Marshmallow devices, but I can say it's not true for the 5X because, I mean, battery life was just kind of all right.
Yeah.
On that phone, and 6P seems to be a lot better.
But so to give context to the numbers that you just gave, I'm looking at my Nexus 5, right? My old Nexus 5, and I've got 30% battery left right now. Okay. I've got an hour and 56 minutes left according to it, but if I look at my screen time, that has been 1 hour and 12 minutes of screen time since the last full charge.
Well, see, you're not a huge smartphone user, though, right? You're not, like, always on your phone doing things, are you?
I'm pretty always on my phone, yeah. It's
okay. Well, I mean, it just seems like it doesn't seem too bad. You're running Marshmallow, though, as well, right?
Yeah, I am.
Because I can see the little you can see the Doze notches in your...
Well, no, that's either a combination of Doze or when I... Because the thing is with the Nexus 5, I have to plug it in at my desk when I'm working. So, like, through the day...
Oh, that makes sense.
So I'm used to the common practice of put my phone in, commute to work, get to my desk, plug it in, go to lunch, plug it in when I get back. Yeah, it's always plugged in. And I carry 3 batteries in my bag.
Because you have a battery in your back pocket as you're walking down the street to get tacos.
Yeah. It's tragic. So, I don't know. We'll see. But Moto X Pure was an outlier. So, Dom, maybe I'll check that out. I'll spend a little more time with it and see.
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, I think you like it.
It is.
Cool.
It is cool.
All right, well, that's a little teaser for hardware. But before we go to hardware, we want to thank one of our sponsors for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. We want to thank Lynda, because Lynda.com is the best. Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to take better photos, learn how to develop an Android app, improve your Excel skills, or master Photoshop. Lynda.com is everything you need to feed your curious mind. Lynda.com's latest courses include Getting Started with After Effects 2015, up and running with Premiere Elements 14, up and running with Photo Magico, Music Production Secrets, and up and running with FL Studio 12. There's also Burt Monroy's weekly Pixel Playground series, where Burt walks you through the fun self-contained Photoshop or Illustrator project, and Photo Tools weekly series with Jan Kabili, where you can learn new imaging editing techniques in just a few minutes. And lynda.com is fantastic for somebody like me who is a rusty programmer, and I've gone in and I've been learning a little more SQL skills as well as Python, things like that. Lynda has these great tutorials that make it super easy to learn at my own pace. With a lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule. Courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. You can browse each course transcript to follow along or search for an answer and skip to that point. You can take notes as you go and refer to them later and download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on your Android device. Create and save playlists of courses you want to watch to customize your learning path or share with friends, colleagues, and team members. Your lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. So whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid and sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And as always, we thank them for their support and for being awesome. Cool. So let's move into some hardware.
I kind of want to sign up for Lynda now.
Go for it. Learn something new. All right. So Florence, what's the latest in OnePlus land?
Well, you still can't buy a phone without an invite, but now they have a new phone, the OnePlus X. Little thing about this phone, so kind of weird. So first of all, it comes in two flavors. A ceramic version and an onyx black glass version. Both are actually really quite stylish, very nice design from OnePlus. But only the ceramic one will be available. Only the black onyx one will be available here in the U.S. The ceramic one will only be available overseas.
Yeah. Also, and the ceramic one is very limited, too.
Like, yeah. I know, Dom, that you got a chance to play with it. What did you think about it? Even though I'm sort of weirded out by the fact that they put a Snapdragon 801 in that, which is last year's flagship processor.
You mean like 2 or 3 years ago, flagship processor?
Yeah, I know. Like but ago, right? Yeah, 2014 yeah. flagship.
Yeah, it's the 2014 flagship killer. Didn't you know? but seriously, okay, so like the ceramic versus onyx thing, it's just a back. You know what I mean? Like it's literally just like I don't feel like it's going to change how I feel about the phone, regardless mm-hmm. of which kind of one that I have. And yeah, like they said that the ceramic one's going to be extremely limited because it's a very hard process.
Yes,
to like
it was
make,
like 24 days for each phone that they make or something
like that. Well, no, they said some kind of crazy stat too. Like let me see if I have it in my notes here. They said something like they would make like 100 of these and only like, mm-hmm. you know, 20 of them were good enough to use or something like that. It was just, that wasn't the exact, you know, number that they gave, but it was something to the tune of that, to where it just it's a hard thing, and so that's why it's super limited. And I guarantee, like 95% of people out there aren't going to see one of these. So you know, whatever. I mean, that's
a
not a big deal. It's a bummer, I guess.
Sounds like it's looks nice.
So what's the point then?
So the point of this phone, it's a $250 phone. It's just a really affordable, nice looking phone.
It's hot fire. I mean, this thing just murders everything in its price range.
Yeah, I mean, even with the older processor,
older processor, it just murders everything, and it's really fantastic. Like I even had a chance to use the camera, and though the camera that I used, I'm assuming that it was like beta software, but the pictures that I took from that thing were pretty awesome. I was really surprised.
The sensor on the OnePlus 2 was really good too, so I'm not surprised.
It's not the same sensor though.
Right. It's supposed to be
a different sensor.
Slightly improved.
I think it might be better than the OnePlus 2 sensor.
Right.
I don't know. These are just brief thoughts on my, you know, 4 hours with the phone.
Is four hours enough time to get to the point of to make a decision?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like spending 4 hours with a girl. Don't you like know by the end of 4 hours if you want to spend more time with her or not?
Yeah, 15 minutes, 4 hours, same thing.
Some women take a while. I mean, I don't know what to say. You gotta wine and dine them, Ron.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
It is a great phone. I mean, I think it's a great phone. The hard part is that anything that I have to say bad about it, if I find a lot of things that I don't like about it or whatever, at the end of the day, it's $250, yeah, and I just have to eat my words and shut up because of that. Because it's $250. Like, it doesn't have a fingerprint scanner. Well, it's $250.
Yeah, OnePlus makes...
It's not as bright. Well, it's $250.
OnePlus makes really solid devices. My only issue is the invite system is a little much to contend with in this day and age.
It's tired.
Of instant gratification,
Here's what they said. Here's what they said about that invite thing is... So after when the sales go live, I believe it's November 17th or 19th in the U.S. One of those 2 days.
November 5th is when the invites begin.
But that's for Europe.
Oh, November 19th is when it goes on sale.
Yep. Yeah. So November 19th, a month after that launch, every week they're going to do a day where they're going to have like an hour long, one day a week, an hour long open window for anybody that they wants to order this device. So you don't have to wait for an invite with this. Just wait a month, watch the reviews, see if it's something you really want to buy. And then once that open sale day comes around once a week after 30 days, after it being on sale for 30 days or whatever, then you can just order it. So there are invites, yes. But they're trying to do this better, and I feel like a lot of it is they're constrained, with production and stuff.
I mean, call me old fashioned, but where I come from, you start a business and you create a product and you make the product to let people buy it. And,
how much money do you think they could be banking just off of selling all these like super cheap phones?
But it's not like they're not funded. I mean, that's the thing is that I get it for the OnePlus One. I get it. Like this is our first phone. Mm-hmm. We're a new company. We're being disruptive. I get it.
Oh, that word.
Hey, at least they're not pivoting.
Yeah, right.
The invite system creates demand. It gets people talking. We talked about it. It's kind of exciting, all stuff like that. That was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right? And so now you've released not only one phone, but you've released the sequel or the second model of that phone, right, of your flagship killer, right? And you've got funding. You've got people behind you. Just make an order and sell phones, and then if you sell out, make more. It's 2015. This isn't 2005. How many cell phone manufacturers are there? Smartphone manufacturers out there? Like, this isn't hard. So, I mean, I get it. I get the idea of creating a frenzy, but honestly, 1 hour once a week, 30 days after it goes on sale, that I might have a chance to get one. Like, I want to give you my money. Take it. I don't know. The guy who never took a business class aside of me screams.
That's the thing, though. It's like, why would they intentionally just avoid taking people's money?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. So, that leads me to believe that maybe there's something greater that we don't understand. Maybe it's not that they're having production things. Maybe it's not this or that. But maybe there's some
greater
reason.
Force at play here.
Yes, because there's no reason. Like, if 500,000 people are trying to throw $250 at you, you're going to put out a bag and start catching it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for them not to.
Wait, I'm not going to say
If the phone is as good as Dom says for $250, they should have no problem selling them. So show some confidence in your product. I think
I don't know what it is. It's weird.
There's a certain level of caution that you want to take because you don't want to make bad business decisions and you don't want to, jeopardize your bottom line, all that sort of stuff. But at some point, you either got to put up or shut up.
I agree.
Yeah. So
said, Ron.
There's a little rant. So.
I like your rant.
Okay, but moving on, it has been such a long time since we've had some ridiculous hardware that we can laugh at, and I'm so thankful our friends at Samsung.
You're going to laugh at this? Really?
Of course I'm going to laugh at it. It's an 18-inch tablet.
Okay,
I read a tweet about that at some point.
This tablet is bigger than the television I brought to college in my dorm room.
Wow, that was a small telly.
Well, I was also 20 years ago, but think about it. So Samsung announced the Samsung Galaxy View, which is an 8-inch tablet / TV.
18-inch.
That you can basically carry around. I believe the quote is that this is the TV that kids can touch and play with.
No way. No, that's not. Is that official?
Look at it. Yes, look at this.
Yeah.
No. The wording that you said, it's a TV that kids can touch.
Yes. Yes.
They did not see that.
Wait, hang on. It's in the article. Wait, where is it?
Cats and dogs can touch it too.
Let's see.
So can forces of nature.
Bornheimer, what's the first name? Sean Bornheimer, the senior manager of product for Samsung Design, right? He said that for kids, this finally becomes the TV they can touch.
Oh my God. Stop it, Samsung.
This is what my children have to look forward to.
So just to run down the specs here, it's an 18.4-inch tablet. It's got a 1920 by 1080 resolution, so it's full HD, but it's not 4K. It's not like...
Give us 1440p at least.
It's a starter device. Come on now.
So the natural question is that how long will the battery last? How much TV can I watch on this? How much TV can you watch? The battery is a 5700 milliamp hour battery, which gives you 8 hours of video.
5700?
But
in that big of a space?
8 hours.
They could only fit
57. What? That's the size of most 7 to 8 inch tablets.
5700.
Yeah. Bigger tablets have over 9,000 milliamp battery packs.
So they're boasting 8 hours of continuous video. It's got a 1.6 gigahertz processor with 2 gig of RAM, Wi-Fi only, and it's got 32 gig of storage or 64 gig of storage, and it will have a micro SD card slot, so you can expand that out to 128 gig. And it is going to be on sale in early November for $599.
So $600, not too bad as a TV for your kid. Well, actually, that's ridiculous. Why are you spending so much money on your children?
You need to buy them a $50 Amazon Fire and call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. Get them a $50 tablet. That's all they need, seriously.
Yeah. I don't understand. Samsung releases 12 tablets a year. And
not that many this year. In their defense, they didn't do as many this year.
Last year, they released...
They did, yeah. Last year was...
tablets. And previous years too. I mean, there's five different versions of each tablet they release. And then, but anyway, I just don't understand the need for what does it do?
There's a market that's coming out. I think we're going to start seeing it more at CES. We're going to start seeing these portable home entertainment systems, which I realize sounds weird, but companies are trying to reinvent the kitchen gadget. So instead of buying an all-in-one, HP at Costco for $400, and I'm saying this based on just sort of what I've been seeing in the industry, it's now they're looking to make tablets into those kitchen gadgets that you...
I've seen I've seen some stuff from...
For sure, we've seen the same things.
Oh, it's the thing.
Alcatel.
I shouldn't talk about
the TCL.
Alcatel. Yeah, we can talk about
TCL. I posted about that, so that's not under embargo, I hope.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't want to mention it because I wanted to throw you under the bus.
I took the
first.
Fall. It's fine.
Yeah. That kind of thing. I get it, but with the Samsung thing, what is the gimmick? You know what I mean? Everything has, even the iPad Pro, of course, Apple has a gimmick with their stuff.
Yes, it has a pencil that sticks out of its side.
Yes, which is funny. That's another podcast.
Somebody stabbed it.
Well, and I also thought that at 13 inches was enormous and laughable. But
yeah.
18 inches. I have a Nexus 9. So this is the equivalent of two Nexus 9s joined together.
And the Nexus 9 ridiculous. Is too big for me.
Yeah.
Well, what's the aspect ratio on that thing?
16:9.
Oh, okay. So it's definitely carrying a little TV in your pocket
or backpack.
Yeah. Does this even fit in a backpack? Never mind. I mean,
does it fit in the back seat of a car? It probably does.
A backpack.
I would probably have to put it in between the driver and the passenger, so the people behind me could watch it.
What I love is that they're boasting how the Galaxy View is basically, it's designed to be portable. I mean, it's got a kickstand, so you could just prop it up.
Briefcase.
And watch it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's
you could take it upstairs.
Take it to every room with you. You could take it to the beach. It's just enormous. And it's wide enough that you could have a small crowd watching the same movie you're watching at the same time.
Can you imagine all the cuddling that they want to have happen around this device? It's so much cuddling.
And people are going to start bringing that on planes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I mean, people already bring so many things.
I mean, this is basically just, this is basically a TV running Android. I mean, that's what, and running TouchWiz. Like, that's like, and like, and so now, thank God it's got Samsung's split screen functionality.
Multiview, yeah.
So you could be, you could actually be watching something, you can be watching something while you're
going on Facebook. Because Lord knows I can't just watch TV. I have to be doing something else.
It's just enormous. Like, I bring my Nexus 9 to the gym to watch TV at the gym. And like, imagine this if I pulled this thing out and put it like,
you could work out with it.
What is 18 inches? Like, this is like, that's like that big, right?
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
giant.
This is 13 inches. So this is 5 more inches from this.
From the corner of the display,
right?
Mind you.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
there's another half inch or so on each side of the display.
Oh, it's crazy. I love crazy hardware. This is fantastic.
Do you want to hear about more crazy hardware?
Of course.
Now a change of topic. We're going on to the BlackBerry Priv, which we've been talking for quite a bit, but today
you're really excited about.
I've not been excited about it, but today CNET published a nice lengthy interview with BlackBerry's head of devices, Ron Luks. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. He is kind of the guy who helped convince BlackBerry to kind of join forces with Google and load Android onto the device, you know, try something new, steer away from the BlackBerry of the past. Now, it's a pretty long article. Definitely, if you have some free time tonight, you know, go and check it out. But a couple takeaways from it, okay, which I thought were interesting. Number one is that John Chen, the now CEO of BlackBerry, said that he'll dump the smartphone business if the Priv doesn't turn a profit.
Wow.
So that's pretty,
so they're going to dump the smartphone business,
which is, or business if it doesn't turn a profit. Yeah. So it's you know,
so
there's a lot at stake there. Whole business.
A
if
lot
you
of nothing. Stake.
and also a nice little stat in there from IDC is that BlackBerry powered smartphones now represent less than 0.5% of a market that's led by, so less than 0.5% market share right now. In 2009, they were controlling a fifth of the market, right behind Nokia. And now look at the way things have shifted.
Yeah. And think about where the market share was in 2005.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dominant.
Yeah.
So,
in case you don't know, AT&T will be the first carrier here in the U.S. to carry the Priv, which goes on sale this Friday. So that's
so
going to be.
Are you lining up to get your Priv? Are you getting your time in the Priv?
No, I'm not.
No.
I think I'm going to take one for the team, you guys. I'll get one.
Yeah.
We'll
take a
look. $700. That's a lot of money. You might as well buy a Galaxy View. At least you can watch TV on it and you know the interface.
Maybe it's my purchase that helps BlackBerry live on.
Why don't you give your money to charity instead? It's a lot more useful.
Because I feel like it's such an interesting device.
I'm so
angry about this. Here's the thing. Here's one of the nostalgic things for me is I had the original, like, one of the original Motorola Droids with the keyboard, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, totally, yep.
That action, it was so satisfying, the little...
Yep, the click, you know, push down, I remember.
Push down the keyboard. So, like, that ties into it for me, and the fact that I haven't used a BlackBerry since the Storm, so... or not the Storm, I'm drawing a blank, screen presses down the entire thing.
Oh, the Sidekick?
Help me. No.
No, that was,
there was a later one that did that, though.
That was, Sharp and then later Danger.
Right.
It was, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, I haven't had a BlackBerry experience for a while, and it's different. I mean, it's kind of weird, you know?
We talked on the show about the allure of a physical keyboard.
I've never used a BlackBerry, BT-dubs.
Well, no, but I used the BlackBerry years ago, like 03, 04. But I had a physical keyboard up until after the G1. The Nexus 1 was my first non-physical keyboard, and I agonized over it. I need a physical keyboard. I don't want any of this on-screen keyboard, and I haven't had one since. So I'm tempted by
I'm
the
so
physical
used.
Keyboard. I mean, it's a novelty, but...
Very used to life without it. I lasted up until I got my HTC Incredible, which was my first Android phone.
Yeah.
I had texting phones up until then with physical keyboards, but they were big enough so that if I had long nails or just got my nails done, it didn't get in the middle. But the BlackBerry keyboards were always a little too small for me.
Right.
Yeah, it was the BlackBerry Storm, by the way.
Yeah.
I was right the first time, and then I messed up.
Well, we'll see this Friday when the Priv comes out. Hopefully,
we
can get our hands on one and see for ourselves. Take it to the Priv, and the privy.
And stick it to the priv. I know you're trying to make
a outhouse
toilet joke.
It's a
yes,
toilet joke,
but I was doing you know, sexy back. Took it to the bridge. Okay. Took it to the priv. I don't know. I took that too far.
Eh, sometimes when you have to explain it, it doesn't work.
We can move on to the next segment. Yeah, so. Now.
That said, speaking of hardware and getting new devices, we want to thank Gazelle for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Gazelle is the trusted marketplace for buying and selling used electronics. You can trade in your old device for cash or buy a certified pre-owned one or do both. For trade-ins, simply visit gazelle.com, find your device, and get an instant quote. Shipping is free and payment is fast. If you're looking to buy a certified pre-owned device, Gazelle has a variety of Samsung Galaxy phones to choose from. Each device is fully inspected and backed by a 30-day return policy and sold without a carrier contract. So if you're like me and you're looking to upgrade to a new device, but your old device still functions and works great, you can get some cash for it, or you can find your new device at Gazelle. You can go to gazelle.com and see what your old device is worth and check out the selection of certified pre-owned devices today. You don't want to miss out on getting the best value on certified pre-owned devices. When you buy a certified pre-owned device from Gazelle, all the devices are available in good and excellent conditions. Good condition shows some gentle signs of wear and tear, but offers consumers great prices on still great devices. All devices have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection process, ensuring that they are in perfect working order. Devices are available for support by all the major carriers, such as AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So give new life to used electronics. Trade in for cash or buy certified pre-owned. Visit gazelle.com today, and we thank them for their support.
I wonder if they have BlackBerries.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll find out. I like the idea of giving new life to old. It's like taking. It's like a puppy. It's like the pound. It's like, oh, take this phone. It's still got life in it. So,
oh, yeah. You guys adopt old dogs if you can. They still deserve a home.
So, just a FYI. Okay. Well, we got a lot of apps to get through and a change of events. So let's go to apps. All right, so I feel like the past couple of weeks have been very hardware dominant, so it's nice to see the app section coming back in full strength.
Oh, God, today's app section is very
huge.
Long, so.
But there is a lot to talk about from the Googleplex. The Goog is pushing out apps left and right. So first up, I'm gonna blow through a bunch of these stories, and Dom, Flo, chime in if you have any comments about them. But of course, users can now record and publish their video gameplay from the Google Play Games app. So the continuing movement of sharing gameplay videos, we saw the YouTube Games channel open up. We see Twitch. Now you can publish your gameplay from the Google Play Games
app.
Who
wants to watch me play Pokemon Shuffle?
I want to
try that tonight.
Just crickets.
I don't know if it'll work. I guess, does it only work with games that have Google Play Games integration?
I would assume. I would assume that's kind of, you know, by default.
Okay.
By default, then you can
watch me play Peggle Blast.
Yeah.
Peggle is a fun game.
It is, but I have like finished most of it.
Oh, no.
So.
No, I used to play Peggle back in the day on like PC, man.
Oh,
like,
so did I. Peggle. Alongside with a Sane Aquarium.
So.
Oh, I was a hardcore Peggle fan. Peggle Nights? Ooh, Peggle Nights is.
Peggle Nights sounds like a nightclub with lots of like half naked women, and I just. Love imagining Dom right now in a nightclub called Peggle Nights. I'm really sorry I'm
you
going
have
there.
To say, you have to agree with me that Peggle is one of the most addictive games.
It is. That's why I have given PopCap/EA so much money for that damn game.
When the Peggle app first came out, I was... Oh, it was over.
I know what to get done for Christmas.
So Google reported that there's over 144 billion minutes of gaming videos and live streams that have been watched on YouTube. So everybody who blasted me when I made fun of people watching gameplay videos. I'm wrong now
on Twitch. I hate who I've become.
Someone on Twitter got in my face and they're like, you watch live streams of people playing pinball.
So what?
And like, you watch baseball. It's the same thing. I'm like, it is the same thing.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Watch dudes hitting each other in MMA.
I don't do watch that.
No, I know, but some people do.
So to use the new feature, the game does have to be in the Google Play Games app. You just tap the record button. You can capture 720p or 480p video, and it publishes directly to YouTube Games. And it's going to roll out to users in the U.S. and the U.K., and Google has plans to expand globally soon. So moving on, I'm a big fan of Google Keep, and now drawing mode is now live in Google Keep. along with an updated widget. I know we get excited when we've got new widgets.
Yes, but, we do.
But yeah, so Google Keep is the great application that's kind of Google's Evernote killer, which allows you to take notes and access them pretty easily. And now they've added the ability where you can draw within them, which actually you think would be kind of odd, but it's pretty handy when you like want to sketch something. Like, oh, I've got an idea for
with
something
your finger,
physical.
Though.
I'm fine with that. I've used drawing apps with my finger.
Galaxy Note 5.
Yeah. So.
All right.
This is any update to Keep, I'm cool with. Keep,
right, yeah,
Keep
yeah. is a power. Yeah, as long as yeah. Keep doesn't go the way of Google Wave, we're going to be fine.
Well, yeah,
as long as they keep it around.
Yeah.
Look at that. Okay, moving on. Google, have you noticed a lot of flurry around like meeting apps and like, I feel like
I'm
Microsoft.
I'm so exhausted by it. I'm like, nobody wants to hang out with me that badly.
Well, so in a move that can only, that reminds me of, what was it, Poochie on The Simpsons, Google's got a new app called Who's Down?
Who's down to hang? You want to hang out, bro?
Look at the first screen where it's like, who's down? Like, it's Google trying to be hip.
Come on, millennials. Let's hang out with our Android
phones.
Who's
down?
And what's great is look at the third screen where it says, like, the conversation amongst friends. It goes, hey, I'm down for tacos. Looks like Jerry's down, too. Where do you guys want to meet? Like, everyone's down.
Yeah, some dude named Jerry wants tacos. I don't believe that. Named Jerry does not eat tacos. That doesn't...
No, wait. This is a real thing.
This is a real app that basically...
As if tacos wasn't enough reason to hustle.
But isn't this Hangouts?
No. So this is actually real life. This is planning real life events. So
who wants to come to my wedding? Yeah. Who's down?
How is asking hey, are you down for tacos on Hangouts? How is that not real life?
Right.
Yeah, no, but this is just for finding out who's down. See, so seriously, look, Brian, pull back up the screenshots. If you scroll down, right?
Oh.
So one slider to see who's free to hang out, show your friends that you're down, right? And then customize what you're down for.
I feel like this is going to go down a dark road. It's going to get a little Tinder up in here. This is just Google's.
But like, scroll, like, so instantly know which of your friends are free, and if you look at the list of people who are down to get together, Kimberly Smith, is anyone down to grab lunch? Mishka Vora, anyone down to work out? Anyone down to watch a movie? Like, can you only say
are
down?
Are you okay being alone? You know, the most important love in life is self-love.
All people. Of these people are sad. They're all alone right now.
I know. I just want to go over and hug them. Who's down for a hug?
Down with each, like, why don't they just, like, go hang out with each other? Like, hey, oh, well, we can go grab lunch and then go work out. You know what I mean? Like, why are all these people alone together? Or not, like, not... together.
Like, maybe you guys should like be together.
This is so weird. All I know is that I haven't been down enough, and apparently I need to get out more by being down. So
I'm gonna install this app and like send you a down and be like, hey Ron, are you down?
It's invite only, so you need to, so someone needs to determine that you're down to be on the app. Which, so if anyone has an invite to Who's Down,
here's the thing. I can give, and not to bring this up again, but I can kind of give the OnePlus situation a pass, but this Google invite, like, really?
Hey, it's hip and cool, Dom. Get with the program. Come on now.
What is great is that, like, going to the Play Store listing, and Brian, I'm putting it into the chat. The description is, right, who's down? Online. Always know who's free to hang out, so you never miss out on the fun. So Google is completely playing.
So much for FOMO. Yeah, exactly. Like, now you have total FOMO. Now we're going to need to have people go to school just to, like, give therapy on how to be okay with missing out on stuff.
This is
just getting really bad. We're feeding the machine, guys.
It's amazing. So there you go. Who's down? And it's got some strong reviews there. It's got 4.1 stars.
Stupid.
In the Google Play Store.
Why do I need a dollar or an app?
I don't have any friends. But
I'm getting on that invite list right now, you guys.
So. Oh yeah, me too. I'm all
pretty
about
soon, pretty soon I'll be down.
I'm down for this. So
I'm down as soon as Google lets me be down.
So finally, the last Google update to one of their apps is to the fantastically powerful Inbox app. We know we've heard Sundar Pichai doesn't often have a lot of time to deal with email. He spends most of his day, you know, working and that sort of thing.
Running the world.
Exactly. But luckily, he'll be able to use the new Smart Reply function. Which uses machine learning to speed up your email responses so that you can respond to an email with just one tap.
Wow.
Isn't that scary?
Wow.
So basically, when you get an email, the app will analyze the email and give you three quick options to send back and reply to an email based off the machine learning analysis of the message's content. So you can use short replies as a way to quickly respond, or you can tell somebody that you're on the go or don't have, you know, I don't have time to get back to you. I'll get back to you later. So it's a way to respond to that email, but also not really respond to that
email. I'm a little afraid what it would do.
So this is kind of a way to use quick replies, but also let Google read everything that you do.
Pretty much, sure. Yep.
Yeah, well, but they already do anyway, so I mean, what does it matter?
Yeah, I gave up on that a while ago.
I think that
I'm not on that train where I'm like, oh, no reading my stuff, because like you put something on the internet, don't put things you don't like, you know what I mean? Like just play it safe on the internet.
I mean the thing is that we're already you live on the internet. We already have predictive keyboards, right? So we're typing and our keyboards are guessing what we're going to say the next word.
Based on a dictionary that's stored in the cloud.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So honestly, a machine learning based response to an email, if it's something that, because I don't know about you, but often in a lot of my jobs, there are often repetitive things that you say and repetitive tasks that you do. And so if the app can pick that up and say, hey, I identify this is a question you've been asked before. This is what you said last time. And with one tap, great. I can move on. You know, like I think it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. It's good technology. So who knows? We'll see. I love Inbox. So I'm excited to see this go. So,
well, it's time to talk about another company called Microsoft, which has nothing. Well, they have something to do with Android this time. Microsoft just put out a new launcher called Arrow. The Arrow Launcher. The idea behind the Arrow Launcher is to offer a different interface for Android that makes it a little easier and quicker to access your most frequently used apps, as well as send messages to friends, take notes, or access your favorite apps and settings. It's a little like Apple's recent Spotlight search update, which now offers suggested apps and contacts when you swipe right on the iOS home screen. It also reminds me a little bit of Yahoo's Aviate, which kind of has the same sort of like, hey, here's some things that you might be interested in. But overall, it's just another launcher from another company that isn't Google. So that's... I
feel like Microsoft is slowly releasing these little garage projects.
Yes, that
like,
I know.
And I feel like in at the end of like or at, like mid next year, they'll be like, and here's a phone with all of our products, and they're awesome.
I would just like if you know, it'd be great if you could just put Windows on an Android phone.
Well,
that way I could just like.
Why would you want Windows on an Android?
Want like a button. Okay, this is ridiculous.
You want a button with a window.
I want a button on it that just so like say, like I can plug in my phone to like a thing to a monitor and then like with Microsoft Continuum, you like plug it in and then you have like the whole PC just like on a monitor, like from your phone. Or am
running
I just
Windows?
Completely making this up? Yes, I don't know.
No, they have those already.
Yes.
Right, yeah. But you want that in Android?
Yeah. No, I just
is that
want...
called Chrome OS?
No, I don't want Chrome OS. That's the whole point. I don't want. It. I'm sorry, Hiroshi and everyone. I don't want it. I want Windows.
You really? Wait, did you just say I want Windows? Like, who
I wants miss Windows? I'm having a bit of a like. I'm having a bit of a mid. An existential computer crisis right now. So, because I just use smartphones all the time, and I kind of neglected like desktop computers, and you know, with Windows 10, I've been really thinking like, oh man, I kind of want to go back to Windows. I miss it. So,
but
I'm not into a Microsoft launcher. I don't want that on my phone. Okay.
I walked away from Windows in 2006 and I've never looked back.
I know. I kind of did that too, but now I kind of.
And I know Windows 10 is nice and everyone says it's great, but.
You can touch it. You can't touch this. It doesn't do anything. And it costs like so much money.
Well, with everything that Microsoft is doing in their garage and with Satchamania running wild, I wouldn't be surprised if next year you have that. So
Microsoft.
A girl can wish.
I will use your launcher if you can do something extraordinary. I don't know. Who am I?
Okay, moving on. We still got a couple more apps and stories to get through here. So remember when Apple released an app to the Google Play Store? Remember what happened?
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. All the negative reviews.
Yes.
Well, Apple returned to the Google Play Store with a second app, and the same thing happened.
Which app is this, Ron?
So the companion app for the Beats Pill Plus, the Bluetooth speaker, which now, as we all know, Apple owns Beats, so it's technically an Apple app. They released it to the Google Play Store, and the Android faithful trolled the heck out of it. It's got a 2.1 star average rating, and some of the highlights on some of the reviews are the usual hystericalness. Apple need Android users to stay alive. Amazing how many Apple lovers are giving it 5 stars, but obviously are using Android to review it. You downloaded the wrong app, people. It's called Move to iOS. Go back to where you belong.
Jeez.
I love those things. They make me laugh so much.
They're if you're having a bad day, just read the comments sometimes on an app review.
Another good one that took the Beats pill literally. Does not work with my prescription pills. I tried to pair this with my pills, but it simply doesn't work. Thanks, Apple.
Is it? Yeah. I'm trying not to laugh into the mic, but yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's funny. If you go to the Google Play Store, you can see all the reviews. It's very funny. And there's some people actually who tried to give it.
Why does a speaker need a companion app? Just use freaking Bluetooth.
Oh, I have my Jawbone as a companion app.
But
there are some things that I guess that can be used for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's access to the settings and the controls and like firmware updates and stuff like that.
I see.
Yeah,
I want to know when they're finally releasing Apple Music for Android. Because here's the thing, right? I got a bone to pick. Actually.
Okay, here we go, Dom.
So, I was a Beats Music subscriber, and I used it whole bunch on my Android phones, like all the time, because I could always keep a playlist in sync between iOS and Android because of Beats Music. It just made it easier for me. I know there's Google Play Music, and don't let me just go for a second. Apple Music is still not there. They said the fall, and then they just kind of avoided it, and now it's not here. And I can't use Beats. There's still a Beats Music app for Android, but they're not like accepting things or whatever, I guess. And once I switched my music, my subscription over to Apple Music, I can't log into the Beats Music app anymore. So I have no streaming app for music on Android.
So now in Apple's defense, they said this fall, and technically they still have till December 21st.
I know, stupid technicalities. I get it. And they'll probably deliver by then, but come on. Like,
I know. Everyone that I've spoken to that has tried Apple Music has given up on it, has gone back to Spotify or gone back to RDO or whatever that they're using. I have not tried it. I have not touched it with a 10-foot pole because I'm very Google Play Music has got me covered.
Like, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Don't you
what?
Dare.
Don't I dare.
Don't
what?
Touch it.
Well, no, I was no. just don't. For me, I was a big fan of Beats Music and the algorithms that chose like the kind of music that I wanted to listen. It was always just spot on. And really, I'm sure there are other ones out of the same. I'm not saying that's the best, but for me, it just worked out. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. So I signed up for Beats Music. And this was before, like way before Apple ever did all this destruction.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, okay, well, I'll sign up for Apple Music because it's the same thing essentially. And it is. I mean, the music prediction and stuff, it works exactly the same. But I signed up with the like mindset that it's coming to Android soon. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it'll be okay. But now I'm starting to like pull my hair out. It's not okay, Apple. So, right. Where the hell
is Dom never happen? Forgot about Dre.
I'm not forgetting.
I will give Apple Music credit that I've heard that the radio station stuff has been good, but the Beats recommendation stuff blew away the songs in Google Play Music. Like my buddy who had Beats Music, it was really nice. But whether or not Apple Music continues to do that, we'll see. But
I subscribe to Digitally Imported. That's where I get all of my. That's like. It's live streamed radio that you pay subscription.
See, but I don't want to listen to radio.
It's radio curated by. You know, digital DJs, and it's you can like upvote songs, but it's like mostly for dance music and stuff. So it's very Euro.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on.
Snapseed's got some news since we're moving Snapseed. I said Snapseed. Snapseed's got some news. The app now allows raw editing, which is kind of really cool. Google had a little blog post about that the other day. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Snapseed does raw photo editing.
You were very excited about this before the show started.
And I'm so sorry that I lost my train of thought there. I apologize. Basically, now you can edit photos in raw. Snapseed. So
if that is your thing,
you want to do it, you go ahead. I was going to jump into a little tangent here and say that I'm hoping this means that eventually Google will open up its camera app to finally do some manual controls, which we've been seeing in a lot of the flagships that came out this year. So hopefully this is just like a little... And of course they had to do this because LG's phone does RAW, shoots in RAW, Samsung's phones shoot in RAW, HTC's phones shoot in RAW, so naturally you have to offer
it. Got
to
edit RAW.
You got it, exactly. Got to make it RAW.
Got to make it RAW. All right, well then. And finally, our last bit of app stuff. For those who might be keeping track at home, the Sling TV app, when it came out, everybody was raving about it because it would allow you to watch cable TV via the Sling TV app and a bunch of different channels, and it was really cool. My big complaint was that it didn't have Chromecast support, and now they do. They've added Chromecast streaming. So if you were on the fence about Sling TV and you Chromecast was the one bit that was keeping you on the edge, now you don't have an excuse. So go check that out. And you can watch HGTV to your heart's content. Like I loved
Sling TV. I was a big fan of Sling TV. The only reason I stopped is because I had one a long time ago, and I stopped because I started working from home, and then it was like, well, what am I gonna sling into? You know, I had no reason to sling anymore because I was all slanged out because I was at home.
Yeah, you know?
didn't need to tap into my TV. So yeah. Sling TV is awesome, though.
Sling TV is great. And honestly, I used the Sling TV app when it first came out in the trial period because I wanted to check it out, because the idea of a lot of those cable channels that having them available on demand, because I don't have cable, like I'm a cord cutter, like, but there are shows that I do want to watch, like House Hunters and House Hunters International and Property
Brothers. I love House Hunters International.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have to say I'm a big fan of the home channel or whatever, HGN, right?
That's what it is. HGTV, yeah.
HGN is the awful
Property Brothers, rockin'. Love It or List It, phenomenal.
I'm right there with you, Dom. I'm right there with you, man.
So. Dude, I will. This is like a guilty like pleasure of mine. Is I will just sit and binge watch all HGTV shows ever, basically.
But here's the thing: as somebody like me who's a cord cutter, I can't do that anymore because I don't have cable. I don't have coming in. And while there are a myriad of ways to get other content, other TV shows, whether it's Hulu or HBO Now or other non-official apps.
Legally.
Or
things like
that. Right. There's a whole substrata of shows that the internet just doesn't care about, you know? And like, I feel like
The Real Housewives.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the reality stuff and stuff like that. And the thing is, some of those shows you can get either through the network apps. Like there is an HGTV Watch app, which I use and I can watch, you know, I get my fix that way. But to have it all in one app that basically gives you the kind of cable experience, that's what the offering Sling TV gives. Without Chromecast to me, though, is useless because I don't want to watch TV. If I had the Samsung
Galaxy View,
it would be another story, but so anyway, so Sling TV's got Chromecast support now, so we can all watch Bad TV. So, all right, getting close to the finish line here, folks.
I know.
Let's thank one more sponsor before we head into the arena. We want to thank Braintree for helping bring this episode of All About Android to a reality. And listen, a lot of developers watch this show, a lot of people who are working in the IT industry. Maybe you're working on the next Uber or the next Airbnb or GitHub. Then why not use the same simple payment solution that helped them become what they are today? Braintree makes mobile payments so fast, easy, and seamless. You can add it to your app with just a few lines of code, and you're instantly ready to accept Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, even Bitcoin. Shopping cart abandonment is a big problem, and if your customers are already using a familiar payment option, you have a better chance to convert them. In fact, we spoke with Ankur Aura, the general manager for Braintree Mobile, about why their one-touch platform is so important.
If they can manage to get payment credentials the first time, the subsequent purchases are relatively friction-free, right? You can do one-touch buying and one-click buying. But sometimes the first time, it's difficult to convert a user and get them to save their payment credentials. And so the one-touch buying experience effectively makes it such that if you have a PayPal or a Venmo account, you can provide a one-touch buying experience the very first time that you as a merchant interact with that PayPal or Venmo user, which is pretty powerful and just great for an overall buying experience.
So Braintree's fast payouts and continuous support mean you'll always be ready, whether you're earning your first dollar or your billionth. See fewer abandoned carts and more sales with Braintree's best-in-class mobile checkout experience. Braintree gives you a full stack payment solution, support for all payment types that your customers might want, single integration across all platforms with superior fraud protection, customer service, and fast payouts. That's right, fast payouts. To check it for yourself, visit BraintreePayments.com/Android. And again, we thank them for their support. And fast payouts are key. You need that when you're making an app. You want to get your money. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Braintree. All right, let's head into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All righty. So last week we had a collection of four apps that were available to vote on. And the winner was, as soon as I can, Brian scrolls down.
It was Boomerang. It was Jason. He won for Boomerang for some weird reason. I was in second place, though. I just want to say that. Yeah.
So 37% of the vote goes to Boomerang and Jason. 33% goes to Hexlock and Flow. 16% goes to F-Stop Media Gallery, our guests from last week's app. And I came in last with 14% for Monospace Writer Beta. And the developer of Monospace got in touch with me and thanked me for highlighting the app. And it's a really good app. And I think you guys didn't give it that good of a shot. So there you go. But I liked it. So that said, that means I lost. So I've got to go first. And so I will go first. Dom, you'll be after me. And then we'll look at Flo's app. It's funny because we were talking about Inbox by Google and the machine learning and kind of, you know, being able to have one-touch responses and things like that. The app that I'm showing this week is called TextSpand, Text Expander, and it is an app that on the desktop I use an application called Text Expander, which I cannot live without, which basically allows you to program in canned responses and then with a couple of keystrokes be able to output them. So, for example, I often say, you know, I often wrap up my emails the same way, like, let me know if you have any questions, concern, thanks, you know, and then my sig. So now I can just type semicolon sig and it spits that into an email.
Half
I don't have to type the whole
day.
Thing.
Is that what you
exactly.
say?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So TextExpand basically does the similar thing but on your phone. So what you can do is when you install TextExpand, you do need to go into your settings. You need to set the accessibility options to allow TextExpand to not only access other apps, but also to allow the hovering aspect. You know, that's that new permissions. But when you have it, what you can do is you can add any sort of phrase. So I can put in a shortcut. So I'll just say, you know, TMI. And then you can type out the whole phrase. And let's say for some reason I say too much information to my friends all the time.
Get to the point.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk too much.
Okay, and so you can say, you know, and then you can add a description. Okay, and you can have it, you can set the settings to have it expand immediately or expand within words or not. I'm going to turn those off for now. I'm going to say expands immediately, yes. And you can save it. And you can see I've already saved a couple here where I have MYN gives my name and MYEM gives my email. And so now if I am in any sort of scenario, I'm going to go into keep here. And I'm going to start a note. All right. And so now what happens is when I start typing, if I type M-Y-N, right, you see this little orange dot that comes up. I can tap that, and it's going to make a suggestion, and I can say Ron Richards, and it automatically changes it. Like
that's
magic.
Cool. That's just really like, it's cool. It's just like the app on OS X.
Yep, pretty much. So if you find yourself – and now here it's already – as I typed it, it realized that there's a match – and I hit it, and I don't know why I didn't do it there, but boop. And there you go. And it gives my email address. I can go TMI, and it will automatically change it. You know how I had that setting where it says automatically replace? So if you are the kind of person who has a lot of canned responses that you need to give a lot, if you're out in the field, if you're working with similar phrases or things like that, you want to get exact. If you're on the road, if you don't want to, I hate typing on my phone. The less typing I need to do, the better. Then TextSpand is quickly going to become an app that you can't live without. Simple as that. So real simple. Does the job really well. Great material design implementation. And it's free in the Google Play Store. So TextSpand. And also, Brian, you that pointed out, if go back here, they have a whole bunch of dynamic values here. So if for some reason I wanted to add the day, month, year, or the time or anything like that, you can plug it in and you can have it be, you know, today's date, the exact time or whatever. It can be all these dynamic kind of variables. So, yeah. So there you go. So text expander, free in the Google Play Store. Check it out. That's my app. So Dom, awesome. What do you got for us?
I went with Open Camera, and this is an app by a gentleman with the name of Mark Harmon, and it's a camera app.
The actor?
No. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
All right, who is Mark Harmon?
Do you not know who Mark Harmon is?
No.
Did neither of you see Summer School?
Oh, that guy!
One of the best.
Okay, I know who this is. No, I know who this is. God, I know who this is.
I'm so
I just
old.
Didn't know his name.
Mark Harmon. He was on CSI or NCIS.
NCIS. Or he's also in Freaky Friday, which is where I know him from.
Well, Summer School.
Oh, you mean the main guy from NCIS?
Yes. Yeah, that's Mark Harmon.
I know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's also.
Oh, he's also in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
He's also an Android app developer in his spare time.
Apparently. I don't think this is his.
Obviously. Okay, anyway.
it's really cool, though. I don't know if a lot of people have this issue, but like for me, I like having manual controls on the camera apps. And we were just talking about that earlier with the Google one, right? So manual camera gives you that. There's actually, you have to, it's not all by default. Some of these options you enable within the settings and stuff, but it'll give you access to like white balance, ISO, things of that nature. And it'll also let you do it during video recording, which for me is important. I like having that kind of control. And, you know, it gives you similar camera capabilities to what LG offers with the V10. If you were looking for something like that, you get those kind of manual controls with Open Camera. And it works on any Android device. Obviously, the features that are enabled vary per device, depending on, you know, what's available with the software and the actual device itself. But it's a really solid app, and it allows you to lock focus, lock exposure. You can you can actually adjust the video bit rate that you're shooting at, which I think is a really cool feature. Not a lot of people are going to utilize that, but if you're looking for something that will allow you to do that, you can change the resolution, the bit rate, the frame rate. You can set maximum durations of the video. You can have it automatically restart video recording after the max duration. It's really cool. It's really in-depth. One of the more in-depth camera apps out there on the Play Store, and it's free too. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong. Try it. You can't go wrong with free, you know?
Wow, you can even set mono or stereo audio channels. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
It's really, like I said, it's really in depth. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there, and like you do have to dig for a lot of it, and there are some experimental features that you can test as well, which are like in a beta, you know, beta mode, but it's pretty awesome. I mean, I like it a lot, and the developer seems to kind of put everything you could possibly need and more inside of this app and just give it away to everybody. It's 100% free, no ads. I think that's even part of their like thing, is it's no ads, you know, it's just totally free.
Well, that's the thing. Mark Harmon really believes in the photography community.
it's awesome, though. It's a really awesome app. I mean,
there you go, Mark Harmon, Android developer extraordinaire. So cool. Yeah, no, we've looked at a bunch of camera apps recently. I think it's funny because you mentioned, you know, with the manual controls and that sort of thing, and we're seeing more and more apps. And I feel like every time we look at another app, it adds another dimension to the idea of, you know, giving you control over your camera, and be it in UI or in functionality. And like this seems like way more video functionality than the other ones that I've seen. So yeah,
you can have full on manual controls in video mode, which is huge for people that are looking for that. I mean, the V10 is the only phone really, I mean, for the most part, that ships with as many manual controls as it does. I mean, there are some out there that have a little bit of manual action, but V10 is the only one that shipped with like just basically all you need. And Open Camera kind of brings a lot of that to the table for any Android device. Yep. So pretty cool.
Cool. And so to clarify, and we want to thank Guy in the chat room for letting us know, the actor is Mark Harmon, O-N, and the Android developer is Mark Harmon, A-N.
Aww.
So it's not the guy, it's not the teacher from Summer School.
What a man indeed.
Mr. Shoop. So
I'm kind of upset now.
I know. Well, I still strongly recommend you watch Summer School because it's a great movie. But all right. That said, Flo, take us away on the last app in the arena.
So I have a new favorite thing I like to do now. And part of this has a little bit to do with the fact that a long, long time ago. All right. So my grandfather was a pilot. So as a kid, we used to, you know, watch the Blue Angels every year. And I grew up really obsessed with planes. And I've got a couple of, like, you know, friends on Twitter who are like aviation nerds. And I kept hearing about Flight Radar 24. And I was like, ah, man, I should just buy it and do it. So my new favorite little pastime is sitting out in the backyard and identifying which of the planes are flying overhead with this app, which is also kind of creepy in a way when you think about it, because they have all this information on you. Or rather, they have all this information that's open. Can we see this? Okay. Adjusting the brightness. Sorry about that. So it's essentially an app that lets you see, like, what's flying overhead. I bought the full pro version for $3.99. There are a couple of in-app purchases that you can purchase as well. It goes all the way up to $4.99. The way it works is you can basically see what's flying in your vicinity. Check out, like, what kind of plane it is. This flight is from Hong Kong to SFO, so it's going to land pretty soon. It is a Boeing 777. I'm trying to say this with the slang terminology that you would normally say airplane names, but I'm not very good at that. And if you want, you can even do like a cool 3D mode and see what the pilots are seeing. So right now they're flying over Sebastopol, which is very green, according to this imagery. at an altitude of 23,000 feet. It's really like a super easy to use app. You can go like anywhere in the world if you want. So for instance, I'm going to go, I don't know why this is on caps lock, but I'm going to go to London Heathrow and see what's going on over there. I forgot that Europe doesn't share most of its flight information, so it's not going to work for this demo.
Good old hair.
Because Europe actually has privacy laws.
the EU.
No, I actually discovered that the other day, and I realized that the reason I was trying to see the planes that were coming out of Romania, and I realized that, like, I can't do that because they don't really allow that. But overall, if you're really into airplanes and you like doing nerdy stuff like sitting outside in the backyard and listening to planes overhead and then identifying what they are, it's kind of fun. It's also fun to use with smaller planes, which unfortunately, I mean, I wonder if I can find, like, a little guy. Here we go. Here's, like, a small guy. It's a little Cessna. You can see him, where he's going. See his little trajectory. He's flying into Buchanan. Anyway. Yeah. Flight Radar 24 Pro. $3.99.
All right.
It's fun.
So, cool. Hypothetically, you can vote on these in the arena. If I might have screwed it up, but if you go to the All About Android community on Google Plus, or if you go into the All About Android community page, or you go to the URL AAApoll/238, that might be broken right now, but it should be fixed eventually. And Brian,
worked for me.
Is it working? All right, cool.
Yeah, it redirected me to the
all right, maybe it's been updated already. So there you go. So AAApoll/238, you can vote for TextSpan, Text Expander, Open Camera, or Flight Trader 24 Pro. All great apps. Your vote can count. I originally did the poll under my personal account, and then I quickly scrambled and did it under the All About Android account. That's why I was a little kind of shaken up there. So
that's why you weren't offering comments, yes, commentary exactly. on my app. I was like leaving a couple of breaks in there for you, and then I was like, oh, it's not happening. So
frantically trying to not
see,
screw up.
And I didn't know if those breaks were for him or for me, so I didn't want to jump in and, like, you know, take over.
I
his
see.
Spotlight.
This is just.
It's how we go.
This is how we roll. We're all just.
Listen,
super polite.
Listen, there's a linchpin to this show, and he's about 6'4". And but anyway, so go to AAApoll.com/238. You can vote in the poll. You can vote for the arena and pick your favorite app. All great apps, and we thank everybody for putting them in. That's it. We made it. We're somewhat on time, which is great. Dom, thank you so much for joining us.
How's your butt feeling, by the way? Is it sore? Because
me?
Yes.
Are you still talking about the raw editing or?
No, the, you yeah. know, when you're sitting for 2 hours, like, I'm curious. I'm, I know. it's just a butt.
No, I sit all the time. I mean, I you know.
Really?
I,
don't you know sitting kills you?
Well, I mean, I move too. You know, I do both. I have an even chair, so my butt isn't always in
just
a chair.
Just making sure you're okay. Yeah. You're comfortable over there.
So, Dom, where can people find you online? What this is your opportunity to kind of, you know, pimp what you're working on. Let everyone know what you're up to.
You can find most of my like my main work at youtube.com/Dom, and that's where I upload videos on all kinds of phones and consumer electronics and all kinds of stuff like that. And you can find accompanying written reviews for those videos on 9to5 Google, which is where I post some of that stuff as well. And twitter.com/MacMixing. And that's pretty much it.
Cool.
That's where you find me.
Excellent. Well, yeah, like we said earlier in the show, it's great to have some representation from the 9to5 Google. So we appreciate it.
Definitely.
Flo?
Yeah.
What do you got going
on? I still have a lot of reviews that I'm working on. So just check up on me at greenbot.com. Make sure I'm still alive. You can also find my stuff on pcworld.com. And you can find me at Oh That Flow, where I am tweeting about phones. Phones and public transportation. That's all that's going through my mind these days.
Yeah, all I see ever on your... When I see a tweet from you in my thing, it's like, blah, 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 Bart, blah, blah, blah. Like that's all you ever tweet about, I swear.
I'm a huge BART nerd. Like, so I'm like really into infrastructure, which is why I really like planes and trains and like metro car. I'm just really into like that stuff. Yeah. So
no, but it's always like something that I would never experience. And you're like, you ever have those times where you feel sick on the BART and you really just, you know, you're playing with your Galaxy thing or whatever? I'm like, what, why these BART things always come up like on your feed? I always see them. Not that they're bad. I'm just,
I spend a lot of time in public transportation. And it's my life.
The great thing is that if you're in you know, New York, it could be the subway. If you're in Chicago,
I complain about the MTA when I come to NYC. Yeah, don't worry. Everybody gets complained about depending on where I am at the time.
All about transportation.
As much as you talk about BART, you should be being paid to talk about BART.
You know, I have tweeted at them about that. And
have they ever retweeted you? Or like, I made the BART roundup once. Like,
yeah,
they published,
they actually reached out to me on my birthday and said happy birthday to me last year because I was so excited. They were doing the surveys on my birthday, and so for my birthday I went and I took a BART survey to get a BART pen, and I had a sticker that was
you have a genuine grin on your face. Like, you are the happiest person.
I love BART. It really makes
Is it really that good?
No, it's awful.
Why do you love it then?
Because it's my life. I have so many memories on that train, on those trains.
Why don't you tell us the memories of where people can find you online?
I already did that. Anyway, this isn't all about BART. This is all about Android.
That needs to be another Twitch show, by the way.
Brian, please help us.
I don't know. I think there's no brakes on the off the rails train.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
So, but at this point, though, I'm feeling like I should probably stand up. I've been sitting for too long.
Oh, yeah, someone's showing off a shirt, I think.
Oh, no, not really. Just, I don't know. Something's not right sitting that long. But you can follow me at @cranky_hippo. I also do a how-to show with Padre every Thursday, so check that out. How about that BART, though, guys?
It doesn't come to Petaluma, which is a bummer, and that's because, but we won't get into that.
I only ever take the ferry. I feel left out. Not
hey, I can tell you stories about the Muni in San Francisco, but I won't.
Yeah.
So. Actually, my sister sent me a photo of me in 1989 in San Francisco standing in front of a Muni bus, and it's like the old Muni bus, and it's like a nice little
one that was in Mrs. Yeah. Doubtfire?
Kind of, yeah, like the old white and the orange. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny. So I don't know, but nobody will ever see that because I don't post pictures of me from years ago.
TBT.
Anyway, so finally, if you want, I'm trying to get us to come home. You can go find my stuff at about.me/RonXO, and find all that fun stuff. Go listen to my new podcast, Goodfellas Minute, at goodfellasminute.com, fun times, ifanboy.com, getdrop.com, all my great stuff that I work on. That's it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thanks for our studio audience. We appreciate it. So you can participate in the show if you want to be heard. You can send us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail. We love those. You can email those to AAA@twit.tv. That's AAA@twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show. You can check us out on Reddit at twitaa.reddit.com. You can find the full show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And, of course, we're on YouTube and iTunes, so you can get the past episodes there. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting about 5 p.m. Pacific time at twit.tv/live. That's it. Jason, we miss you. Have a great week.
Have a blessed day.